As always, just after 11 on a Monday, we have our Monday morning political panel. Joining us this week is Nick Leggett, the former Porirua Mayor, National Party member and Executive Director of the Porirua Chamber of Commerce. Nick Leggett joins us on the line this morning. Morning to you, Nick.
Morning, Tim.
And here in the studio with me is Glenn Barclay, who's the National Secretary of the PSA, the Public Service Association. Good morning to you, sir.
Morena.
Thank you so much for coming in, both of you. Nick, firstly, gut feeling, 5 days out, how are things looking?
Really close, I think. You know, you wouldn't take any of the public polling and bet on it. You'd have to say that things are very tight. And, you know, I think it's probably a really good place to be for political parties because if you're winning, you kind of relax, and if you're losing, you kind of relax. So both major parties and all parties will be putting everything into the final few days. Although, you know, interestingly, Tim, it seems as though early voting is double what it was this time last election. So, you know, we could be looking at 55-60% of New Zealanders are having voted by Saturday. So in some ways, the election is partially decided.
Well, it's incredible just what way people have voted, what way they've gone. We've had more than 300,000 people so far casting an early vote, which is quite incredible. Glenn Barclay, same question to you. Your gut feeling about how things are looking at the moment?
Well, I agree with Nick that things are pretty tight in terms of the two major parties. I think that the main polls have indicated a wide variety of results, but in the end, I think if you look at the two main parties, I think they're pretty close. Mm. But beyond that, I think that the momentum is still probably with the Labour and even the Greens, that the that momentum is still there. But I agree that the parties will be cracking on for the last few days and doing their best to make things move.
Just on issue that issue of the early voting. As I said, more than 300,000 people have early voted so far, and as we know that they are thinking that possibly as many as half of all people are going to vote before election day itself. Nick Leggett, I'll ask you this to start with: is that healthy for a democracy to have so many people voting early? Do you think?
Well, yes, it is. I mean, Tim, you know that I come from a local government background, so we've been used to that for years, for almost 30 years. People have voted progressively. And I think anything that expands people's ability to participate in the democratic process is a good thing. What we've seen, I think, this time is that, obviously the work leading up to the 11th, when polls actually opened, was very focused for political parties, and they've just had to change the way they've run their campaigns. Mm. But to me, if you're expanding the time available for people to vote, it's got to be a good thing.
But it has changed a lot, though, hasn't it? In terms of election day, midnight of election day morning, all the hoardings come down. You're not allowed to talk about it. There's no, you get told off for doing social media posts about encouraging people to vote for a certain party.
That actually still remains.
It does. Which is why it's so strange that in the 2 weeks leading up, as you're making your way to the polling booth at the moment, I'll put this to Glenn. It does seem strange that you've got all this political advertising everywhere when you may have half the people who are going to vote early, yet for some reason, and it's pretty old-fashioned to have on election day, the idea that you can't have any signs up at all.
I agree with you completely. I think that the rules have got to change. That's all there is to it. It's great that people have got the opportunity to get out there and vote early, and we're encouraging our members to get out and vote early. I think that the amount of, going back to your original question, the numbers who are getting out there, I think it's an indication that people sense this is an important election and there is a mood for change. And I'm really encouraged by that.
So you would think that the majority of those 300,000 or a good number of those 300,000 would be voting for a change of government. And that's why we saw the likes of Jacinda Ardern out there last Tuesday voting.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's made a strategic decision, and I think it's the right one. And I'd certainly think that that's an indication of a mood for change.
Mm. Oh, well, we shall find out 11:15. Just a couple of matters in the news this morning, Nick, if I could run them by you. Firstly, the situation with the fuel, the rupture to the fuel line, sending aviation fuel from Northland to Auckland Airport. Jacinda Ardern's come out in the last little while this morning saying that she believes that the government knew that this could happen and that she's really pointing the finger at the National Party and Bill English saying that they knew back in 2012 this could happen. Could this, given the disruption caused to thousands of passengers, and it could go on for days, could this become quite a key issue in the final week of the campaign?
Well, I think it's certainly not the kind of issue that you would want if you were the government in the last week of any campaign. So I don't think it's helpful. Whether or not it changes votes, whether or not voters will understand that really the government is one of many players in this kind of infrastructure discussion, and therefore blame probably has to be spread amongst different across different actors in this scenario, or whether people actually just think, look, this is another reason why the government is good or bad, and we're and we're going to vote the way we were going to vote. So I think it remains to be seen. It's the hot issue of the hour. It's disrupting. It's annoying. But this is a government that's actually spent billions of dollars on infrastructure. So really, I think throwing this idea that they're soft on infrastructure investment, is really it sort of will fall flat when you look at significant investment in schools and school buildings and transmission lines and in roading that's happened. I think people understand the infrastructure picture far better and also know that things can go wrong. I suspect internally at the various companies there's going to be some, there'll be some pretty severe investigations.
I would say so, yeah.
We worry about these kind of things happening and you think in today's sort of risk aware environment and with really good asset management and planning that this sort of stuff would not happen.
Indeed. I'll put this to Glenn. It's a very easy attack line for Jacinda Ardern, isn't it?
Well, it's a bad look for any government, I think, to have something like this happen on their watch. And, if she's correct that the government knew about it back in 2012, well, then that is of real concern. And, the extent of their culpability, who knows exactly, but this does suggest that maybe they knew more than they've let on. I mean, I think that, going to Nick's point, though, that, yes, the money's gone into infrastructure, but we do know that Auckland, in spite of all of that, is still creaking at the seams. There's huge infrastructure needs, and we know that we've just scratched the surface of this.
Mm.
So, I think it's legitimate for Jacinda to run with it. And even if she hadn't, there is this kind of problem of association. If something like this happens in the last week in the run-up to election, then it's not good for the government.
Indeed. I just need to get to a break. We'll come back and have a chat with Nick Leggett and Glenn Barclay as well. Just on my own personal feelings, Labor's, of course, and this is what Jacinda Ardern said, she wanted to run a very positive campaign and have been very restrictive in terms of attack ads, whereas National have used more the attack style in terms of the potential taxes. So I just wonder whether we could be seeing a shift here from Jacinda Ardern starting to point the finger and saying, hey, hang on, this is actually a government issue in terms of what's happened with this aviation fuel not being able to get to Auckland Airport. And we've had dozens and dozens of flights cancelled as a result of that today, and it's set to continue for at least the next few days at least. Back in a moment with Nick Leggett and Glenn Barclay on our Monday morning political panel, 19 past 11.
Call 0800 80 1080 to talk back with Tim Fuchs on Newstalk ZB with Wellington International Airport and Fiji Airways, flying Wellington Nandi direct twice weekly at family-friendly times.
It is 22 past 11, 0800 80 1080 472 1035. After 11:30, I'll have a chat with the farmer who's leading this protest in Morrinsville, which happens to be Jacinda Ardern's hometown. They're expecting a decent turnout. Apparently the weather's not great in there, but they're expecting quite a lot of farmers, including the old tractor, to make a return as well. So we'll have a chat with him after 11:30 to find out what that is all about. Glenn Barclay, the PSA National Secretary, and Nick Leggett, former Porirua Mayor and National Party member, are with me on our Monday morning political panel. Nick's on the line, and Glenn's with me in the studio. Glenn, just on that farmers' protest this morning, in about an hour, we don't know how many farmers are going to turn out, but clearly there's a lot of anger among the farming community about things like the water tax, about the way they've been spoken to. We've heard about the urban-rural divide. Do they have a point being upset, do you think?
No, I think this is overstating the issue. And this is a group. I don't think it's all farmers by any means, but this is a group who essentially a core national constituency who don't like a Labour Party policy. There's a big surprise. I think that in the end, I think the Labour Party's been quite clear that this is going to have, that those who contribute to the pollution in our streams and rivers need to pay a modest charge towards correcting it. And that's, I agree with that completely. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, it's partially being whipped up by the National Party. And I'd be surprised if this is really a protest about the consequences of the policy or really just a, you know, fear of change.
Nick Leaker, what do you think?
Well, I think it's indicative of the fact that this rural-provincial versus city divide has been raised in this campaign by the Labor Party.
And, that's the National Party that's raised that. I mean, this is...
No, it's not. These are rural and provincial people who are reacting to a Labor Party attitude that the productive sector of New Zealand is somehow more pollution than cities and therefore should pay, without actually understanding that the huge amount that not only farmers generate for the economy, but the associated industries. And I think that that's what people in provincial areas, so we're not just talking about farmers, we're talking about anybody whose income is garnered from the agricultural sector, you know, which I think is something like 30% of New Zealand overall. So we do have, this is a really important issue. And I think it highlights the fact that this campaign, you know, I think has probably been the most divisive for at least a decade, probably since 2005, where we've seen the Labor Party come in and pit different sectors of New Zealand against each other.
I'm sorry about that. Look, just the fact that they've got a policy that relates to putting a charge on water does not mean that they're pitching urban against, you know, the people who have actually run that argument are the National Party.
Unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened, though. And I think it's sad, you know, in a New Zealand economy that's performing very well, that's growing, where more and more people are coming out of poverty, where more and more people have got opportunities to work, we're seeing these sort of identity issues. Now, and that's unfortunately what the Labor Party is about. It's about identity politics.
This is not an identity issue. This is about the health of our streams.
And I think it's really sad in a country that's doing well.
Okay.
That we're seeing different people pitted against each other.
Okay, Glenn, the attack ads on the tax in terms of the capital gains tax, land tax, water tax, emissions trading scheme, you know, that kind of thing. Have they worked? Because we did see that back down on the capital gains tax last week, saying we're not going to bring it in until after people have had the chance to vote on it. The attack ads from National have worked to a level here in terms of putting into people's minds about what taxes are in, what taxes are out. So they have, I mean, we don't really like attack politics, but they seem to have worked here.
Yeah, no, I agree that we don't like attack politics, and I agree that there's a really negative campaign which is focused not only on the tax question, but also on, you know, the so-called, you know, $11 billion missing from Labor's costings, which was demonstrated to be untrue. So, look, I think that the most disappointing thing for me is that that we're not going to have a decent conversation about tax. I think that probably Labor did have to move to clear up the ambiguity around their policy, but, you know, it's really important that we have a decent conversation about tax. You know, the PSA's produced a booklet on tax, in which we had a whole lot of authors contribute. And, you know, most of those authors were saying that we are really unusual in the Western economy in not having a capital gains tax. And so it's really sad that we're not going to have that conversation this time around.
Yeah, Nick Leaker, we did see James Shaw over the weekend saying that the Greens, if they are part of the next Labor government, they would be pushing very hard for a capital gains tax to be brought in. So it's whether Labor will actually be able to hold off implementing a tax like that if they have, you know, if the Greens maybe get 8, 9, 10% of the vote.
Well, I think Greens will be struggling for that kind of level, to be honest. But Labor have changed their minds on a capital gains tax like they've changed their underpants, really. I mean, and yes, they've postponed the introduction of two new taxes over the last few days, but they've also reaffirmed the fact that they're going to introduce five new taxes, including a regional fuel tax and others. So, I mean, I think that, once again, we have a strong growing economy. And I just think people understand that if you try and tax more in this kind of environment, there's businesses and those who are employed by businesses are going to have less to spend, and that affects the whole economy. And we are not in a position as a country where we can afford to quit our growth, I don't think.
Okay. Sorry?
Yep. No, I was just going to say, I disagree that that's going to have a damaging impact. I mean, we're not looking at the other side of things, which is that, you know, one of the important reasons why we want to have a conversation about tax is not just to make our tax system fairer, but also to ensure that our public services are properly funded. And we know that health, education, and
the
public services is, you know, absolutely essential to the delivery of making a decent society, and that's part of the economy as well.
If you take more off people on tax, they have less to spend and the economy shrinks. Therefore, there is less to spend and invest on public services. If we can grow the economy and the amount that people are spending, then the tax take increases and we can invest those in public services. I mean, it's a classic, you know, sort of Labour national argument. And I think that people are listening and considering these things, and that's why we're seeing a tightness in the polls, and we've seen some movement back towards the National Party as people, you know, have thought about these issues in more depth.
Okay. I'm just getting up to the news at 11:30, so just a final question to both of you. We've got the final television debate on Wednesday night. Glenn, I'll start with you. I mean, this is the frantic last 5 days of a campaign. The leaders will be up and down the country. They'll be up and, you know, all hours of the day and night trying to get people's votes. Wednesday night's the final opportunity to speak to a whole lot of people all at once. What do both leaders need to do to convince us?
Well, I think that, Jacinda's been very successful in mobilising a whole lot of people. She's just got to build on that. She's got to continue to demonstrate her freshness, her leadership, and maintain that connection that she's made with ordinary New Zealanders. And, you know, she's got to get the vote out. I think that in the end, we know that a better turnout will tend to favour parties of the left. Mm. So she's got to continue to do that. From the national side, I think that Bill English, the National Party's looking desperate. They've been thrashing around with their attack ads. I think that he's got to do a little bit less of that, and it'd be nice to hear, you know, in the end what their vision for the future is, because we haven't had that.
Yeah, well, let's put the same question to Nick Leggett. Final chance with the televised leaders debate with Mike Hosking on TV1 on Wednesday night. What do both leaders, both Jacinda Ardern and Bill English, need to show us?
I think Bill English needs to continue to show us more of himself, who he is, show that his actual driving passion in politics is around issues like children living in poverty. And not only does he have the wonderful slogans that, you know, make everybody's heart flutter, he understands the mechanics of how you make a government respond and improve the lives of those children and others who are living in similar positions in society. And I think that's what people want to see from Bill. Jacinda, I think she's got to do more of the same, but she will be on the ropes a little bit because of this tax issue. I think she's got to show a greater depth of understanding. The media have started asking Labour some harder questions, and I suspect she's a smart operator. She'll know that. But we've got to see that there's detail underneath the bonnet a little bit more from her.
Okay, very good. That's on Wednesday night, the final leaders debate with Mike Hosking on TV1, simulcast here on News Talk ZB. I thank you both very much for taking part today, Nick Leggett and Glenn Barclay. Thank you so much for your time as well.
Thank you.